Welcome to the Monday Minute of the Hunchback Country podcast. These are shorter and more informal episodes where we usually answer your listener questions. We're not going to do as much of that today, but it is going to be an informal episode. I also don't know if it's going to be shorter. We'll see where this goes, Steve. I can tell you it's informal. Yeah, we just have a few different things going on in the world of EXO that it's not like an announcement. It's not about us. We actually want to involve you guys listening into it. But basically, two big things, and neither of which do we have a plan for. So we're just going to chat, Steve. One is yesterday was kind of the official, unofficial 10-year anniversary of EXO, and we can talk more about that date. And then two is a project that we've teased, we've talked about a little bit. I think we've settled on a name. And that we're going to be doing kind of for the remainder of this year. And that's, again, something we want to involve you guys listening with. So, where do you want to start with any of the above, Steve?
I'm gonna start with the Friday night story, just from a perspective. So, like, completely off topic here, but I guess the end of the story is, if you're healthy, thank the Lord and just go do something. Like, my mom fell walking out to her garage, and she's 69 years old and banged herself out pretty good, and then called me and had to take her to the emergency room and ended up spending 5 hours there Friday night. And that was a cluster. But they stuck everybody. There was, like, I don't know how many, 8 to 10 patients in the size of the room. That's like a normal family room, living room in your house with nothing but curtains dividing everything. And just to sit there and listen to, I mean, some people who had very legitimate reasons to be there. Other people were, one guy I told you prior to starting this was like, came in and said, I heard him checking in going, I think I've got strep throat and it's hard to swallow. It's like, are you kidding me?
Maybe
But
not as legitimate. Yeah.
not as legitimate, but there was some legit, just, it was just such a, you just heard everything in there. You couldn't escape it. And just, it's like, man, just, it's so easy to not appreciate just simply being able to move and have freedom and wake up and be healthy. So I almost wanted to, like, I could stop the podcast right there and just, like, challenge everyone to, like, just go do something this week to celebrate being alive and healthy and able to move. Like, we're so, how many times have we talked about how lucky we are to be able to go hunt and do the things that we do? And that stuff is just so easy to take for granted. So that there's a girl next to us who was in her early 20s, and she was in this car accident when she was 16 and has all sorts of issues related to that. Must have been a pretty bad one. And it could just, just felt so terrible for her. Nothing that, and completely out of her control, something happens and the rest of your life is affected by it. So again, if you're healthy, you're able to move, man, go do something. Me personally, I got I'm gonna do 100 miles this week. That's my death hike training goal. It's like, here
Oh,
in
for the
we're
week cumulative.
yeah for the week cumulative. Yeah, that's my goal.
Nice.
We're just do probably, I think, four. The one route I want to do is, like, gonna be 20 to 22 miles, depending on how it shakes out, and 6,000 feet of climbing. Do that 4 times, and then and every other day, and then in between the other days, do shorter. We'll just fill in the gaps, whatever I need to round up that last 15 miles. So,
That'd be a solid week.
yeah, it's gonna be a great week. I mean, we're less than 4 weeks now. That, I mean, Saturday would have been 4 weeks to the day that we'll be, doing 100 miles inside of 48 hours. So if I can't do 100 in a week, we're other than the time commitment, like, it's gonna, I'm gonna do a Probably I'm gonna go get this afternoon in, and then I think go again Wednesday and get up at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and try to knock that out and still be the office by 11 a.m. something like that. So, yeah, 10-year anniversary of Exo, man, freaking crazy. I haven't really wrapped my head around it. My initial thought, we had talked about this a while back, and then it just kind of been busy and forgot about it, frankly. My initial thought was almost just more excitement for like I think gonna blink and it's gonna be 20 years, you know, like more excitement for what's next to come, because I feel like we're frankly, I mean, just hitting our stride. Like there's so, you know, so much more we can do and continue to evolve and develop the packs and yeah, I'm very excited about the content project that we've mentioned here a handful of times. I think that we're going to call it the Experience Project, and one that ties into how we've always preached that, you know, we're, I don't want to say preach is the right word, but we talk about how we are the experience hunters chasing adventures and experiences, and not necessarily neither you or I are about, you know, is that elk, you know, 330 or 352, because he's under 350. I don't want to shoot him. You know, like to me, that stuff's silly. And I know as you as well. But there's the experience of that part of it, of just hunting and the adventure and being out there. And then also, you know, looking back, it's like, man, I've been gonna hit 40 here pretty soon, another 2 months. And it's like, I got a legit 20 years of experience doing this stuff. At this point, and certainly some value lessons learned to share. And I think that's the overall big picture of this content project is take all of the stuff we've been talking about on this podcast and condense it all into basically starting here in a couple of weeks till this October wraps up, and all the like just a little bit of backpacking, I don't say 101, but really just dive into all the major topics, like have videos on them, discussions on them, tips and tricks. We're going to go into planning the hunt. Really the gonna be so easy to ramble here. We're going to have three kind of subcategories, basically the gear, the hunt, and the hunter. So under the gear is pretty self-explanatory. You could go through all the gear, go through the hunt itself. So we got three different hunts, a caribou, a moose, and a mountain goat hunt. Plan, like go through the planning of that, logistics of that. Two of them are going to involve floating some rivers in Alaska. We're going to have like some probably on alpaca rafts on to just talk through logistics on that, like meat considerations, you know, so all the different things that go into floating a river and dealing with water and rapids and all that good stuff. So it'll be like another, you know, one of the many topics we dive down. I had debated doing like archery and bow or archery and rifle. We decided just to focus on just rifle this year and see how this project goes. And the next year could be the same thing with all archery related topics. So really dive into caliber selection. You know, try to stay away from more like just always go back to keeping things really practical. What matters, what's going to benefit you at the end of the day, even, you know, even the gear stuff, like we've been talking about, you know, like whether you go buy the latest and greatest pants from, you know, hunting company X, you could also go to Walmart and buy the Wranglers, and like those would perform exceptionally well for you. So there's certain gear that like the gear that matters, like, you know, boots, footwear, that's a topic worth really diving into. Sharing some of the lessons learned throughout the years on how to get comfortable feet while you're out there. You know, rifle more so like getting out, how to shoot, you know, like build the specific load you build and getting too nerdy into the details. You know, those aren't things that really move the needle. But getting out and like practical shooting tips in the mountains, and we've got one of the leading competitive shooters in the United States right now that I've talked to, and we're gonna meet up in the mountains and spend a couple of days shooting videos and content on that. So that's gonna be really exciting. Man, just the list goes on and on and on of all the little things we want to tackle and do. It's gonna be a busy, busy summer, but again, it's a lot of this information exists out there, but I want to just put it all into one place, and that's kind of the biggest goal of this project. And then, obviously, to top it off, we're going to go film the hunts. And I'm really looking forward to that. It's been quite a few years since I really filmed. I've mentioned it a few times over the years, like, it'd be fun to do again. And the end of the day, I get out there hunting and I just want to hunt and enjoy it, not be worrying
Yeah.
about packing a camera. But I'm like legit excited. I've been talking Justin Nelson, who works for us on the SNS archery side. He's the one who filmed your mountain goat hunt. He's going to come and film all the hunts and hunt himself for two out of the three hunts. And been talking with him about ideas and concepts and things I've always wanted to do. And man, yeah. So just yeah, cool, exciting times. 10 years, content projects kicking off. Death hike's coming up here in 4 weeks. Lots of things going on.
Yeah, a whole lot. Yes. So on the experience project, as we said, we kind of have these high level categories, the gear, the hunt, the hunter. The gear's pretty self-explanatory, right? I will say a couple of clarifications on that. Like we're going to try to really stick with what matters, and we are going to approach everything from more of a backpack hunting focus, right? So there's plenty of gear we may not address or things we may not talk about in a certain way because we're approaching this as backpack hunters. And then one thing we really wanted to, we're always strategic with, but even more so with this, Steve, was just that all of this, especially on the gear side, is very independent and unbiased, which if folks know us, like they know that that's always our aim. But we also, I think, are want to make sure that those lines are even more clear, especially as we talk about some of the gear with this project. And just, you know, if we're going to do a test in comparison, we're just going to buy stuff. We're not even going to ask, you know, really. And just make sure that everything is, you know, as independent and unbiased as possible on any aspect of that stuff.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's the, I mean, we talk about the goal with XL, right? Like to build the absolute best mountain hunting backpacks that we can and to take care of the customer. And by lying to the customers about like, oh, you should, you know, this gear is really good or this gear is, you know, like at the end of the day, you get found out, man. Like it doesn't work to, it's not a long-term sustainable thing to kind of hype up. I'll pick on Vortex right now just because like there's a lot of people sponsored by Vortex that'll jump on YouTube and tell you it's the latest and greatest. Not, I'm gonna say not a single one, but 99% of them, if Swarovski came and offered them the same money tomorrow to jump on board, they would jump ship in a heartbeat, right? Like they want to be using the best. And that's unfortunately the case with a lot of stuff that the I call it the ugly side of like social media and influencers and YouTube people is, you know, so much of that is they want to make a living and make some money, which is great, but it's you know, they got to find somebody who's willing to sponsor them, and then in order for that sponsorship to work out, they got to be promoting them. And I hate that entire aspect of it because it just more often than not, it's not completely genuine, right? Some people do a good job at it. There's no doubt about that. As far as being honest and upfront, like, hey, this is, you know, for me, this is a good fit or things like that. But anyways, I can ramble for that one too. At the end of the day, you and I get a, we don't, I mean, we've certainly got friends in the industry and, but we have no ties to like, if something works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And that'll be on the gear side of this will be nice to just to be able to say like, hey, I could pick on Sworo now, like the new EL range, the 32s, like we've had four or five pairs of them. They've all been junk. I don't recommend a single one to anybody. The ranging was terrible. And I don't know if it's something they've fixed. I should probably revisit it. But all the pairs we grabbed, they were like, yeah, we're not even gonna like, not going to recommend these, not going to talk people out of them if they ask, because the ranging was really bad, really slow and a lot of errors. Yeah, it'll be fun and just really non-biased stuff, from try to do some very, sorry, like scientific, we'll do some stove tests where we'd measure, you know, how boil times and wind and boil times and really cold temperatures, which we did this a long time ago. And Frankly, it's sad that not much has changed in the backpacking stove world.
Yeah.
If anything, it felt like it's gone backwards because the jet boil titanium doesn't exist anymore. But we'll do some of that. I'd love for all listeners out there, if you've got a headlamp that you think's amazing, shoot us an email and let us know what it is, because I want to do another headlamp test where you just I did this years and years ago, set a bunch out on a post in the backyard, all in a line, turned on a camera, let them run all night long, and had the camera produce a time-lapse video from that, and you could see, the actual burn time of things, right? So on high, if it lasted 30 minutes or it lasted 3 hours, and if I remember right, the Coast, the old cheap Coast headlamp from Costco, performed really well on that test. So there might be some prizes there, some surprises there, where it's like, holy cow, that's a good headlamp. Rain gear, we're gonna probably grab four sets of rain gear from the top companies out there. Rain gear is a clothing item that is worth specifically. And especially for these Alaska hunts where there's potential to have heavy rain. Like, you can't, I'm not aware of cheap rain gear that's going to hold up and perform well over, over the season of use up in Alaska. So grab some high-end rain gear, and then you can't, it's not like you can go, oh, jump in a shower. Oh, this rain gear works or this doesn't. Like, you need to just test that throughout a season, because you got to test, overall performance and durability and comfort and how it moves with you. And so, yeah, we'll grab that and we'll have four hunters on every hunt, and we'll just run those sets all through the season and do some end of the year feedback on certain gear items. Like, I know, like, narrow down to like two spotting scopes that we take, and then, pack
Yeah.
those around the whole season between the four guys and report back at the end of the year, things like that. So, yeah.
So the gear stuff, that's a I think a good summary. There's a lot more that we have in our planning that we'll tackle. So we're not going through everything that's going to be a part of this project, but one of the other categories we mentioned is the hunter, and there's a few things in that. Two of the primary are physical. So you, as the hunter, you are a physical being, your physical capabilities, training, nutrition, etc. And then tied to that is the mental aspect, which we talk about quite a bit, whether that's, mental toughness and just staying in the hunt, things of that nature. But this idea of the hunter not just surviving in the backcountry, but thriving in the backcountry. And so there's quite a bit to talk about there, from very practical, nitty-gritty, like, hey, on training, for example, or on nutrition. Like, that stuff's easy to be specific on. Like, here's what we do, here's what we've tried, here's what we are trying, here's what works for us. And then obviously the mental aspect is a great conversation to have, but it's not as practical, or tactical, to narrow down always. But those are some of the areas too. Like, gear's great, gear's fun, gear's easy, but the hunter, man, like, you, at the end of the day, your capabilities, be it mental or physical, are going to make or break things even more so than the gear. But that's also some of the areas where it gets overlooked. And because it's not as always as easy to pin down, like, we would just love to have your feedback, you guys listening, on what are some of those things that fall into this category of the hunter, like, that you want to hear more about, that you want to learn about, maybe that you've already found helpful. So I think what we'll do, Steve, and instead of just saying, hey, send us like ideas via email, I'm just going to go ahead and include a link in the show description that's just going to have more of like a form, right? So we'll have the gear, we'll have the hunt, we'll have the hunter. But for each of these categories, you guys can send us some thoughts, ideas, feedback, whether that's something super straightforward, like you said, Steve, like, hey, send us any specific headlamp, or it's more high level of, oh, I'd love for you guys to talk about this or include this or any of that. So the hunter is going to be a really important aspect of this, and definitely something we do.
Sidebar, like, if the goal of this is to educate as best, I mean, right, if this is like how to be a successful backpack hunter, high level class, 99% of it should be on the hunter and like the mental aspect of that, and then hunting tactics, mental toughness, strategy while out there in the field, right? Like the gear should be such a small percentage of it, but it's so easy and fun to nerd out about gear, and also extremely complicated to talk through the mental processes that go on. And at the end of the day, we recorded that podcast with Ben Reynolds last week. I don't know when that's going to air, but we kind of touched on this subject quite a bit. And it's like experience and being like, I don't know what the right word is. Being just thoughtful and reflective on your hunts and what you did right and what you did wrong. That could be in the moment, that could be post-hunt, that could be a year later. All those things are what really going to move the needle for somebody to be a more successful, effective hunter out there in the field. But yeah, sidebar. No, I just like it's like I wanted to mention that from if the man the goal of this is, to be a better, more successful backpack hunter. I wish we could spend 99% of the time on that, but it's tricky. It's a tricky subject to cover. It's hard.
It is. And that's, I mean, not to be like frank, like that's why we're asking for feedback, right? Like you guys may have
Yeah.
some great ideas or questions that fall under this category that, maybe we overlook. And it's not, we've said this before on the podcast, and the struggle is real. As you gain experience with something like hunting, you begin to make decisions more automatically. And sometimes you make decisions that you would say based on instinct, but those instincts are really a culmination of previous experiences. And so it's not just instinct, it's instinct informed by knowledge and experience. But those are the things that are harder to talk about because they just become more a part of you, right? And so when it comes to this aspect of like the hunter, especially as you get into like decisions and actions you're taking in the field, sometimes those are the things that are harder to break apart and to talk about because you're acting on instinct, but it's still analytical and it's still knowledge based. And so it's like, how can we talk about that analytical aspect, the reason that decisions are made, the knowledge that is being applied in the field while you're hunting? When in all reality, a lot of that's happening kind of in the background or like below the surface. So, yeah, it can be tough to talk about. So that's why we want to hear like your questions, your ideas, and all that. It'll be good. And yeah, tactics and strategies, I feel like that blends into the hunter because the hunter's doing all those things I just described. But then there's also hunt specific tactics and strategies, which that's kind of the third category. So we have the gear, the hunter, and then we have the hunt, which gets more hunt specific, but still there's some general topics and lessons here. So like for us, for this project, at least for this year, as we talked about, it's all Alaska focused, but we fully realize that we want, this to be most applicable, most broad to anyone doing, especially a backcountry hunt, a mountain hunt, et cetera. And so we're going to have a lot of, at times, discussions about our particular hunts and the particular context of like Alaska. And like you said, Steve, we're doing a couple of these hunts with floats and like there's going to be unique topics to that. But also under the hunt, we're going to be talking about meat care in the field. And it may have a unique aspect for Alaska or for being on the water, but we're going to make that broader to everyone. We're going to talk about traveling, and that could apply to going to Alaska, but it could apply to any out-of-state hunt. We're going to get into meat preparation and cooking and just any decisions that you're making around the hunt itself, whether that's prior to the hunt, during the hunt, or after the hunt, because all that wraps into a successful hunting adventure. So that's the third category. And again, we have great ideas on what we want to do there, but totally open to feedback. And it was funny, Steve, you and I were, we have been honestly for weeks, so overwhelmed by the amount of ideas we've had and topics we want to cover and everything else. And then at the end of the day, I think we were just chatting. We're like, we need to like zoom out and just give us some like categories or boundaries here. And that's when we came up with like the gear, the hunt, the hunter. And I think that's going to be really helpful, not only for us with this project, but if anyone listening, if you just break down your pursuit and becoming a better backcountry hunter, I think those categories are really helpful. And just even on things like assessing each year, you can go back and look at the last year and go, okay, the gear, the hunt, the hunter. What went right? What went wrong? Where do I need to make some changes? Where did I spend most of my time, effort, and energy? And where should I shift that, right? Like, again, as we've said, a lot of us are guilty on spending a lot of time, effort, energy on the gear, but not necessarily on developing ourselves as a hunter. So I think those categories are just going to be really helpful.
Last night I couldn't sleep, and somehow I started looking at suppressors, and then I came up with a thread on Rockside where it was like a discussion of people, you know, back and forth on this suppressor, that suppressor, and it was all based off like hunting, like looking for a lightweight good suppressor for hunting, and it's like they all work, right? They're completely fine. Like you're, and some guy like, you know, posted in there like he's like, I don't know how many like. Essentially, I don't know how many hours I've spent researching and diving into this, and you know, like just probably I wouldn't imagine this guy's got 10 to 20 hours of reading online crap about, you know, which suppressor to buy for this. And it's like you talk about wasted time. Because one, yeah, like if you're, you know, want you're shooting 3,000 rounds a year and at the range and, you know, doing shoots or whatever, like, okay, maybe you want to dive into this a little bit more, but it's like, just pick any suppressor. They're all going to work just fine. And move on with your life and like, and focus on some of the things that actually matter. Right. It's an easy one to like get, you know, just people get in the weeds and get distracted by stuff. And that time could have been much better spent other places.
I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I heard Jay Nichol from Mindful Hunter mention this idea, and he kind of put language around something that I've seen but hadn't explicitly like thought about or labeled. But you know, Jay does a lot of product reviews, and one thing he's noticed from people is he gets questions about products or product categories, and in the context of their question, they will already basically mention that they have something or that they've made a decision on gear. And it doesn't sound like they're planning on changing it, but yet they're still either wanting Jay's opinion or they're still looking at reviews. And it talk about a waste of time. Like, and I had this come up recently where it's funny you mentioned suppressors, which is what made me think about this. Is someone asked me about comparing two suppressors that I have experience with. And he, in the same message, already said that he was waiting from the ATF on one of those two. So he's already made his purchase decision. He's already invested time, right, and money. Why is he still thinking about getting feedback? And it's just this, it's really about like confirmation, right? Like, I've made a decision. Now I want confirmation. And that's also why people get emotionally attached to like negative reviews, for example, or negative feedback. It's like, hey, I spent a lot of money on this thing. I'm gonna now go look for reviews that either make me feel better about my choice in this money and time that I've spent, or I'm gonna go argue against something negative that I see about this decision that I've made. And as I've thought more about that, I'm starting to see it more and more places in gear decisions or gear discussions where people have already made a decision, yet they're still out there looking for like reviews and feedback or whatever. And it's like, man, get off the internet and just go use your gear. And then you decide whether it's good or not, right? So yeah, this idea of suppressors and wasting time and gear made me really think about how silly that is. But I think a lot of us do it without realizing just what a waste of time that is.
Another thought there just popped in my mind. It's also easy to do research on your phone. It's harder to go, all right, you know, I should throw a 50-pound pack on and go get a hike in for the next hour or two, right? When knowing that that hike is probably exponentially going to lead to a better outcome on your hunt than spending extra time researching between three great choices of suppressors, right? They're all going to work just fine.
And we just came full circle back to if you're healthy and can go on a hike with 50 pounds, you should probably go do that. Just came back to the beginning. So, Steve, again, like we've talked about the experience project, we've talked about the gear, the hunt, the hunter. We've mentioned the hunts that were going on, but I guess give us like step back. 30,000 foot view. What are we doing? How are we doing it? So, what I'm getting at is we've mentioned these hunts, but I think we should get a little more specific just on what they are and when they're happening. But also, as we've talked about, okay, we're going to talk about gear. We're going to do a stove review. We're going to do what? Like, what can people expect to see? What are we releasing? How is this happening? What does it look like between now and really the end of the calendar year?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'll tell you when it happens. no, I mean, we've like part of this is instead of being really structured and planned out, is to like kind of not shoot from the hip, but be very reactive. It's going to be very real time. In fact, Mark, you mentioned you want to do a couple like live Zoom call things where people can join in and ask questions as the projects happen along. So a lot of this will be like we did something, we recorded it, we got it on YouTube. You know, within 24, 48 hours, it's going to be try to be very real time with it as the season progresses, or as sorry, summer progresses, and we get into the hunts. And then the actual hunt videos themselves, I'd imagine, you know, those are going to be, you know, those are going to take time to edit. And I certainly want them to be, you know, higher quality than just a quick gear review that we throw on YouTube. But high level, the entire project will have a home on our website. Which is there'll be like the central page with a big giant. I want there to be a big giant search bar like right there, smack in the middle. So a year from now, you want to go, oh, they talked about rifle shooting positions. You can go dump in there, type that in. It's gonna pull up the five or six results of here's the video we did, here's the photos from that day, here's the podcast we did with that expert on there. So I have a really great resource for people. I think that's the at the end of the day what the goal is. To go reference and learn from. And then, yeah, through the process, it's just going to be certain things are going to lend themselves to YouTube. You know, we're going to shoot a video, whether it's, you know, at the shop, up in the mountains, wherever, do this review, do this comparison, chat through stuff, put it up there. And then we'll have certainly a lot of topics will be podcasts, kind of see the YouTube maybe is the short form format. So, all right, today we talked about footwear. That's 15-minute video. Then there's also a follow-up of here's the podcast where it's a, you know, 60, 90-minute discussion that really dives even deeper into all these, you know, topics. And we'll, depending on what it is, it's either you and I, or we'll get, you know, another get some type of expert in that area on there as well. Like I said, rifle shooting's the one I'm really excited about. I do want to do it. I guess I've got an agenda with like long range shooting, and I want to get some people who are like, oh yeah, I'm a badass. I can kill something at 800 yards every single time, and like go take them up in the mountains and see like what the hit rate is at, you know, 600 yards cross canyon. Because I bet it's shockingly lower than most people would ever want to admit. That's a side fun video I want to do. Yeah, so just we're gonna just kick it off and just start chipping away through these subjects. Have somewhat like probably in the beginning focus on the gear and then roll into the hunter and then probably the last would be the hunt. So just getting the more specifics on, you know, I want to get some representatives from like Alaska Fish and Game on to talk about, you know, moose and like just qualities of the animals. How they live, what they eat, you know, what to expect when you kill one, how much meat should you be packing, some of the different, you know, I'll be very careful not to tip off where we're hunting, just as a respect to people that hunt there already. Like, we're gonna, you're certainly not gonna see stuff to give clues as to where we're going. Just know that we're up in Alaska. But yeah, dive into the, mountain goats. Like, it'd be great to get a mountain goat biologist from Alaska Fish and Game on to talk through the hunt and, just learn more about the animals and, yeah. It's as you could probably tell, like there's this Google Doc we have going that's there's actually two versions. There's my version where I just start like brain dumping stuff as I think of them, and then there's your version where you take everything and start to try to condense and
Right
organize
here.
this into thoughts. But again, like that, I want to be somewhat informal through this process of just like if an idea pops up in the middle of it, like let's do that, and make it happen tomorrow, right now. And just kind of go with the flow and see where this leads. But at the end of the day, we're building the big level. Like, all right, here's all the gear, here's the 15 gear categories we want to cover and make sure we hit all those main topics, and then also just see where this leads us.
Yeah, and one thing we've mentioned, but just to clarify, we're excited to do is also just do recaps of stuff. So after these hunts, after the season, like be able to go back and really provide more context. Like if we talk about gear ahead of time, that's great. If we publish, a gear list in advance of a hunt, that's great. But to be able to come back afterwards and one, answer questions that we get in the meantime, but two, talk about the experiences from the hunts and really tie that in. And then again, just thinking in the future, we don't know where this goes. Like we know we want to do it. We are gonna give it our best. We're really excited about where it's headed, but we also know it's gonna be kind of always incomplete in the sense that this may continue to live on. It may just kind of ever grow from here. It may not be a just this year project or just these hunts project. We're excited to see where it goes and see what the feedback is and see what the questions are. And then, as we mentioned earlier, like maybe next year, it's like we go full deep and just plan all a bunch of archery hunts, from early season to late season, and then take the same ideas and concepts we've done this year and how we address rifle shooting, and then do that with bows the following year. And then again, tie that to very specific hunts. So, yeah, there's so much opportunity here, and we're excited to be able to, again, like take a very unbiased, independent approach that's also backed by our combined decades of experience, and then put that in a centralized place to just have a really helpful resource. So that's what the goal is. Exactly what that looks like and how that plays out, is going to be fluid, but it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're super excited about it, and we're just in a pretty unique position where we have essentially the resources to pull this off, like access to, so many different people and that are experts in their field and what they do, our experience combined over the years, the platform to publish all this stuff, and it's going to be cool. Really excited about it.
Well, we in the future, obviously, this podcast is going to be a part of this whole project. So there's going to be episodes that tie specifically to this, but we will also keep you guys informed when things begin to release. I will say, as you've heard, not everything is coming out via the podcast. So I've said this many times, but really, if you've heard this, want to make sure you don't miss anything. This is always the case, even outside of the experience project, but make sure if you want to see everything we do, like sign up for our emails, subscribe to YouTube, etc. I'm not saying that selfishly to inflate our numbers or to get you to buy anything or whatever, but like all of these resources, all of this content, and this has always been the case, everything we do, not all of it hits the podcast. So while we appreciate you guys subscribing to the podcast, make sure that you're also getting emails or signed up on YouTube to get videos. And that's even going to be more true this year as we move forward. So there will be links to that in the show description. And again, I am going to include a link to have you guys be able to submit some feedback to us about this project. And that can be ongoing. We've always tried to involve you guys in what we're doing with the show and make it a show for you so that we're answering your questions addressing the topics you want to hear, et cetera. So that's only going to continue to be the case with this project, and it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. Steve, anything else before we wrap up?
Nope. Go enjoy being healthy. That's my final thought for the morning.